The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, live from Media Row at Super Bowl 58 on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, indeed, we are. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Media Row. Just what Brent said, here in Mandalay Bay, DraftKings Network Super Week. Couldn't be more comfortable, Kelly. I know you're more comfortable than I am.
I'm just lounging over here on Kelly's couch for the next 2 days. That's what I'm going. That's what I'm calling this over here.
Kelly's gonna be horizontal by the end of the show.
That's right. Yeah. I might be asleep by the end of the show over here.
How about this setup, by the way? I should mention this segment presented by 1-800-Flowers.com, DraftKings official flowers for Valentine's. This is a beautiful setup we have here at Mandalay, part of Media Row. We will be here today and tomorrow, and who knows who will walk on set.
That's right.
We know a couple. Ross Tucker will be here a little later on the this hour. Looking forward to that from the Ross Tucker Network of Football Podcasts. And hopefully Merrill Hodge as well.
Yes,
very
hopefully.
Much looking forward to speaking with him as well.
Hopefully. You know what I'm wondering about right now, Gil? Do you think at any point do we get a noise complaint? You know I get a little loud sometimes. And there's a lot of radio stations right here.
A noise complaint from them
from them, yeah. Like, hey, we're trying to do a show here. Can you shut up a little bit?
I'd like you to effort that.
To test that out.
Get louder and louder. See what happens. Yeah,
take it to the limit. You got it.
Before we reset everything, Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the Niners, where the Niners are still 2-point favorites and the total is still 47.5. By the way, if you care about the money line, Niners minus 122, Chiefs plus 102, consensus right now. Real quick, because Adam Schefter did a whole tweet storm yesterday. I don't know if he said, or he didn't do a tweet storm, but people were tweeting about his appearance on radio. I believe it was in Chicago, talking about what might the Bears get for Justin Fields. And he was asked, would they get a second round pick by the hosts? Forgive me that I don't have the host name off the top of my head. And he said, oh, absolutely. Second, maybe even a first. And I just wanted to sort of my reaction to that is because we'll have plenty of months before the draft. And you know how much we love betting on the draft. We'll have plenty of months to speculate about what's going to go down with this. But one of the things that I've consistently said on this show, and I always talk about back in the day when we were kids, right, when the economic structure of the NFL was different, you were able to have a quarterback hold the clipboard. And this is my whole thing about Jordan Love with the Packers this year, where I was like, hey, well, you know, he might actually be good. He's held the clipboard under the same system. He had it under the same Hall of Fame quarterback for a couple years. You usually turn out great that way. This was the case. I'll just use, again, the team that I grew up rooting for, whether it was Bo in Washington, whether it was Mark Rippon, who ended up being a Super Bowl MVP, whether it was Stan Humphries, who took his team to a Super Bowl in San Diego, whether it was Trent Green, who, if not for a knee injury, might have had a greater career and obviously got Wally pipped by Kurt Warner there in L.A. The point being, I do think there is a scenario we're going to all talk about. Now, if some team throws the house at the Bears for Justin Fields, obviously they're going to take it. They're going to draft Caleb Williams, and this will be a moot point. But there is a case to be made for everything that I always talk about with holding the clipboard, which is if they don't get that offer, why not hang on to him for one more year and have Caleb Williams hang for a year and learn it? And I know this makes people's heads explode. Patrick Mahomes did it.
No, he did.
One talks about that anymore.
The only pushback I would have on that is Justin Fields and Alex Smith. Is Justin Fields the guy that you want the rookie quarterback learning from? I don't know that he's advanced enough in his career that he could really teach him up.
It's a good point, but it would mainly be the system point. But you're right. That would be a difference. Anyway, I just think it's worth putting out there because we talk about it on this show all the time. And here we have the scenario, and that Schefter conversation sort of triggered it for me.
Well, the other part of that is, like, I'm speculating on that, obviously, but maybe it's more important not just learning from a quarterback that's in front of you. Maybe it's just more important of getting, like you're talking about, getting in the building, learning the system, absorbing information in the meetings, that type of stuff.
Such a foreign thought these days, right?
Yeah.
And much of that is the structure, but here's a situation where you could actually do it. Awards night is tonight, Kelly. Well, first of all, again, before we get to the thoughts of what might happen tonight, which is, I want to get the exact, the correct NFL honors, Kelly, is what it's called. It's not awards night, it's NFL honors. But at least the NFL does this where they do every single award on the same night. Most valuable player. I'll just say him. You tell me who's going to win.
Okay.
MVP.
Lamar Jackson.
Don't sound so excited. Comeback player of the year.
DeMar Hamlin.
I have no arguments thus far. AP offensive player of the year.
McCaffrey.
No argument. AP defensive player of the year. This one could go a couple ways.
What did you ask me? Who should win it or
who will win it?
Miles Garrett will win it.
I believe so,
I think
too.
Micah Parsons should win it.
But I think Miles Garrett's going to win. Just a hunch.
I keep going back to that Matt Brown line. Of how at the end of the year, now that we've seen this Cowboys defense play out the entirety of the season, how much of the defensive credit does Micah Parsons truly deserve? I think it's more than we all thought.
I think you're right, but I'm not sure how many of the voters. By the way, I totally don't mean to Colin Coward you down here from my throne all the way down to the couch. But it does.
I don't
it
feel
does
that
sort
way.
Of feel that. Anyway, Kelly, what I was saying was this from my perch. You're right, and Matt is right, but I don't know if one of those 50 voters, like I don't know how many of those 50 voters look at it that way or know of it that way. You know what I mean? Like Matt might be too much in the weeds on that.
Oh, wait.
He might be too intelligent for that.
No, you're correct. You're correct. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just pulled up a name for one of the finalists that I forgot because we've been discussing this all year where I do have a rule on this. Deron Bland. Is a finalist.
But not he didn't achieve your rule.
He didn't achieve my rule. He needed one more pick six, and then this award would have just been handed to
Kelly determines such things. Okay, I think it's Garrett, too. Okay, AP Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Stroud. Sorry, Puka. Wrong year, man. Yeah. Wrong year.
By the way, I really hope Merrill Hodge gets here, because he is. Merrill Hodge, not only did he nail, famously, the Manziel thing.
Yep.
But I just learned this yesterday, nailed the Stroud thing too. We'll get into that. Hopefully shows. I think you're right about that. AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. This one could go a couple ways.
Man, I mean, like we talked about it with Jason yesterday, I think it ends up being Will Anderson.
I do too.
And
I feel that way.
I don't mean to say it like he doesn't deserve it, because he did. It was both him and Turner had those last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks where they were incredible and skyrocketed to the top, you know, near the top of this market. But I think Will Anderson's going to end up winning it over Turner.
All right. And then finally, AP Coach of the Year. Stefanski or Ryans? Nobody else, right?
D'Amico Ryans should win this award.
I think he's going to win this award. You think he wins?
I think he wins.
Okay, the point of all of that is we're not going to have a big surprise. And even the ones like Defensive Rookie of the Year or Coach of the Year, reasonable minds can disagree, right?
Yeah, I think Defensive Player of the Year is up there, too.
Player of the Year. Those three,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be a Comeback Player of the Year shocker. There's not going to be an MVP shocker.
I don't think so, only because of the peer pressure conversation we keep with Hamlin.
That's right. Well, that's tonight.
I will lose my mind if Joe Flacco wins that.
Drew can't do dinner with us because he's got to wait for the final awards to be called for AP honors. Yeah, because apparently NBC's got to wait for the MVP to be called and all that. And comeback player and MVP are the last two. And I said to him, I go, Hamlin and Lamar, come to dinner. I don't think there's a
You can write those ones in already.
All right, let's review our bets. And specifically, what prop are you most confident about that you have? What are you happiest about in your account? What are you the most sort of worried about in your account?
Ooh, interesting question. Okay, so side total. I love that I keep pulling up these numbers with so many sports books and just nothing moves.
Painted.
It just even here in town. Like,
what's your hunch between now and game time? The spread comes down or goes up? First of all, won't get to three, right? It won't get to pick them and it won't get to three.
It's not going to get to pick them and it's not going to get to three. So right. Maybe it moves a little bit on game day, but it's not going to be anything of consequence. Right. And the total, I think I'm more interested in because of how little it's moved. Like, is there an influx of money on game day or on Saturday or something that pushes that finally one way or the other?
A tick? I mean, I don't know that it'll be dramatic.
I don't think it'll be dramatic, but maybe a point. I, could see it going maybe a point either way. So yeah, I did play Chiefs plus 2.5. I am on Chiefs plus 2.5, and then I did the little same game teaser, teased up the Chiefs total up to play it under. So I'm under 54 on that one. Favorite prop bet and my biggest bet is Isaiah Pacheco over 66.5 rushing yards. I know as the weeks have gone on, Gil, it sounds like I'm the only person with that bet. So
nobody else
I haven't
has
heard
mentioned that.
A single soul bring
That's
up
right.
this bet. So that is my favorite one, though. Did play some alt with him as well. Man, I'm going to have to get back. Okay, I mean, the ones I'm most scared of, though, are like the ones that I have the most limited exposure, like our Kyle Juszczyk bets. Like, are you going to be shocked at all if Kyle Juszczyk doesn't get a single carry or a single catch? No, I'm not going to be shocked.
We got into a spirited discussion about that prop on the Megapod yesterday with
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Spirited.
What were his thoughts on it?
Well, he was, you know, he's a numbers guy. So he's just going through how you know, seldomly Juszczyk right. actually gets the ball. And I'm like, it's one carry. The bet is one carry.
I did add anytime touchdown on him yesterday, too. 12-1 at stations,
good
by the way, if you want to do that.
I do have the remaining exacta of the Niners beating the Chiefs at 11-1. And I do have those three MVP bets on McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle at 6-1, 41 to 81, respectively. Obviously, financially speaking, I'm most invested in those. I can stand to win the most on all of those. But as far as the props that exist, the one that I'm most confident about, Mahomes over the 26.5 yards rushing, just because I think that number will creep up, and I think he will have two strategic runs that will get him there. Of course, the kneel downs are always a little nutty with him.
I played the over attempts, too. I played his attempts.
Oh, good call. And then the one that I am the most sort of, I don't know about, was the touchback one, but that's big plus money, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll come back from Media Row here at Mandalay Bay DraftKings Super Week all morning long here on A Numbers Game. Ross Tucker will join us. More Super Bowl 58 talk on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, live from Media Row at Super Bowl 58 on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
As part of DraftKings Super Week, as Brett said, live from Media Row here, Mandalay Bay, Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, this segment presented by DiGiorno. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. B. Mitch is about 20 feet behind me, Kelly. Brian Mitchell, the great Brian Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Great Washington footballer.
One of the first you spotted when you came in.
It's possible that in the middle of a segment, I may just throw off these headphones and just go hug him. What if I do? What if I just, you're talking, I just throw him and sprint over there and just hug him?
Well, I was going to say, can you do it with the intensity of sprinting over so that it makes security question whether they need to stop you or not?
100%.
Like, just straight headsets off and start sprinting, because then they're going to be like, well, he's a media guy, but he's running very aggressively
at
that
person. Got a badge on.
Should we tackle him?
Yeah,
I would like to see how that plays out.
It is, for those who have never been to a media row before, this is essentially a... You know, what you would see as a convention hall, right? But a convention hall of all of your, a kind of a who's who of ex-NFLers, media types from around the country, gambling networks, that kind of thing. There's a shot of it. There's the wide shot of it. It is, 7:16 a.m. here, Pacific time. So not as bustling as it will be, say, 3 hours from now or 2 hours from now. Today is kind of the most busy day of it all with the bustle of it. By tomorrow, it sort of filters out, and then people are just waiting for the game to happen.
Yeah, this is cool to see. It's been, 8 or 9 years since I was at a Radio Row last, so it's awesome. I think Vegas adds a little extra spice to it, and man, it's great. It's great having everybody in one place. We're going to be seeing some people tonight that we normally don't get to hang out with and spend some time with, so it's great having everybody in town, one place for a big event like this.
Oh, the dinner thing is great.
Mm-hmm.
I set up SVP with the table on his group also.
Oh.
It's all, everybody's a
table. You're the guy.
Well, no, I'm not going, but I'm just saying I just set them up with one. okay, you have these props that you culled. Would you like to lead this? This is about rushing touchdowns and receiving touchdowns. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, so we brought this up. You know, we were looking at that the total jersey number prop. Remember that you and I were kind of falling in love with yesterday, talking about, okay, you could, with the combined TD scores going over or under that, and the value of why you would want to do one way or the other. Well, one of the things, I don't know if you remember me mentioning, was, well, this is a great way to play if you wanted to play like a no on a Travis Kelce prop to score a touchdown. So, no, but of course DraftKings has those posted. So they have straight, you know, basically yes-nos, they're set at over a half on rushing touchdowns and receiving touchdowns. So we'll start with rushing here. And on the Niners side, you have Christian McCaffrey over a half of a rushing touchdown at minus 140, under a half at plus 110. Brock Purdy over a half at plus 520, under minus 850. Elijah Mitchell over a half, plus 800, under a half, minus 1600. The one not mentioned there, obviously, is Kyle Juszczyk. I don't know why. I mean, he's clearly going to go off. Isaiah Pacheco on the Chiefs side, over half, plus 110, under half, minus 140. Mahomes over half, 4-1, under a half, minus 620. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire over half at 6-1, under a half, minus 1050 here on the rushing props.
How are you handicapping the total? Let me just start there.
The game total?
The game total.
I mean, I like it under. I did the teaser where I teased up, so I do like it under.
Yeah.
I think it's a little correlated, at least a little correlated with the side. I think if you like the Chiefs, this game probably you're probably liking the under a little bit more. And if you like the Niners, you're probably sold on those skill position players going off in this game, and you probably like the over a little bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to step back a second and just say again, for those who are just landing on the show for the first time, and we had Rufus Peabody on earlier this week on a numbers game. He was on the Beating the Book Megapod this week, which is available right now, which was great. Just absolutely great discussion with all things Super Bowl 58. And then we sort of delved into college basketball because, you know, Todd doesn't know how to sort of narrow it down. But one of the macro thing of all this from a betting standpoint is if you are inclined to bet unders here, if that is your sort of, you know, broad handicap on this, you wait. In his case, it's $2 million. He's only put 50,000 in play, and the other 1.95 million is yet to go down. And the reason it's yet to go down is because he is waiting for everybody to push collectively, globally, these numbers upwards, and then he'll get the best of it. So if that's your North Star, everything else should kind of be correlated to a degree. Now, that doesn't mean like in individual markets like this, you can't find a price or two that you might not like.
Right.
Is there something in the ones you just mentioned that you like?
I think, and it's going to bleed over to the receiving ones when we talk about that. But the fact that we keep joking about these Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown prices and how absurd they've been. I mean, basically the second half of the season, but into the playoffs, they're over to, you know, minus 200 every single time. Down to minus 205 on a Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown. Now, this obviously splits rushing and receiving. But I'd kind of like to be that annoying jackass in the room that has a basically a no bet on Christian McCaffrey to score a rushing touchdown at plus money. Like, I don't know. It is plus money. And again, I like the Chiefs. I think it all correlates a little bit. And you are taking away. Okay, yeah, you can. If they get down and you want to throw the ball a little bit more, McCaffrey gets the end zone by receiving touchdown, you don't get burned. So I almost think getting plus money on one of these props on almost any player feels like a bit of value to me. I wish we had more of these options here in town. This is an awesome market.
What about the quarterbacks? Brock Purdy, plus 520, Patrick Mahomes, 4-1. Those are the ones that I immediately gravitated towards where I'm like, okay, I don't hate those. The yes on those, over a half, not the over, I should say.
Yeah, but these guys just don't sneak, right? Like,
they don't, but there is that stray thing, right?
And it's the Super Bowl, right? Just because you didn't sneak all season doesn't mean you're not going to sneak in the Super Bowl.
Well, what I would like to say again here, noticeably absent is Kyle Juszczyk.
Yep.
Right? So there is... He's absent here. There is a dearth of Kyle Juszczyk props. He is not available everywhere, not widespread. By the way, in the receiving touchdown market, which we're about to see, there is no Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So you are seeing that there is some selectivity in what is even being offered.
I'm wondering, I don't even know if I finished.
Which is odd, by the way. The McCaffrey thing is odd.
The McCaffrey one's odd. The only thing I can think of with that, and tell me if I'm crazy, did they not want to hang plus money prices on no's for both his rushing and his receiving?
I have no idea what they're thinking
about. Which that might have been the case, right? If you price this out properly and... then, like, I don't know, there'd probably be guys like me that would be grabbing up the plus prices on both of those and just open, you know, I hope you get one home. If you get both home, great.
Here's the real question with this. Would you play this, first of all, at all, either of these, rushing or receiving? And if you did, would you look to play it as just a long shot flyer, as a vehicle for a long shot flyer? Or would you look at it for McCaffrey rushing, Kelce receiving, as being the chalk in both, and play it that way, like as just, I'm just trying to get a win here?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for these, and I figure receiving ones are maybe even a better example, is compared to the anytime touchdown price, right? So George Kittle, I'll use it as an example. George Kittle, over a half receiving touchdown, plus 170. Okay, if you're going to bet him anytime touchdowns, plus 165. I don't think George Kittle's scoring a rushing touchdown. So I'm going to play the plus 170 in this market. I think so often when we talk about all these DK markets, it's in the ability to shop around for prices of making the same bet, basically, in the same sports book.
So that's the biggest takeaway I would sort of like to have from all this. Again, we're going to throw out a bunch of markets, and some of these, hate to say it, sorry, I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world, some of them we're not going to have actual bets in. These are two that I would not have an actual bet in, but you just touched on it, Kelly, which is these markets are so, there's so much volume in terms of the number of markets that, again, we always say from week to week, you know, hey, shop around. This is just a great case of shop within a sports book. Find the market that suits your handicap the best. And you're right. If you do have something here that by proxy is a better bet than something else, this is what you ought to use this for.
Yeah, I mean, let's just run through all these real quick. So Kittle, I just laid out. Brandon Ayuk, so over a half receiving touchdown, plus 185. Is anytime touchdown price plus 175. Really think he's going to have a rushing touchdown? It's a 10-cent difference. It gets even bigger here. Rashee Rice. Plus 140 on the to have a receiving touchdown. Right now, he's plus 125 for an anytime touchdown score. Do you really think he's running one? Now, Debo, you got to be worried about, right? Like, that's not one I'm jumping to here. I wouldn't do that. And Pacheco, probably not either. But, you know, like, it's those types of things compare, because a 15-cent difference is massive in something like this.
All right, and now, in the final 45 seconds of this segment, what you've really come for, Usher, first song has been taken down, Kelly. It is gone from everywhere that I can see. At least the spots that we were looking, there seems to be some indication that the song that he starts all his set lists with, My Way, might actually be the song he starts the Super Bowl halftime show with. That seems weird to me, but it looks, if you're reading the tea leaves, that's what it looks like. It was locked out, that it was taken off the board, so it's a whole thing. But with the flyover, we saw six, didn't we, Kelly? We saw six, so we nailed that one.
We did. Yeah. That was the it was a alleged practice run, I guess, but there were six planes in there.
I'm guaranteeing you it's six. Yeah. I have some intel.
I think it was a good call.
So that one we got, and that one's nowhere to be found either.
Yeah, that one was long gone early.
Did I do that? We may have had help to doing that. We'll come back. Ross Tucker joins us. Looking forward to this. He's been on the show before. I don't even know that he remembers that. But we're looking forward to having him. Host of the Ross Tucker Media Podcast. That's next right here on A Numbers Game.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. Live from Media Row at Super Bowl 58 on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Media Row here at Mandalay Bay. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This segment brought to you by Bear Aspirin, the official sponsor of Fans Hearts. It's a pleasure to have this gentleman back on the show. I don't even remember. Now, you just said that you do remember being on. I wasn't sure if you did, but it's Ross Tucker, everybody, host of the Ross Tucker Media Podcast here on the DraftKings Network. It's a pleasure to see you in person.
Absolutely, Gil. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm doing awesome. It's been a really, really fun week. Unfortunately, I got to head home tonight because I'm taking the red eye back. My daughters are at a new school, and tomorrow night's the daddy-daughter dance. They're 10 and 11. Not missing that.
Excited are you
so,
for that?
I'm very excited. Yeah, I mean,
how old is your daughter?
10 and 11. Two of them.
Oh, that's great.
I guess I'll walk in with both of them like this. I don't know, but you know what? I decided I'm going to pick them both up at the door, one at a time, to show them like what it should be like when somebody takes you out for a date like
honestly,
that.
Like, not to be too corny, but what this is like a moment you will remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, because I also think, you know, the one's going to turn 12 on Saturday. So they're getting to the stage where it's going to be teenagers and that kind of stuff. The
soon they will not speak to you.
Soon it will be the father-daughter dance or the dad-daughter dance. Not, like my daddy days are probably numbered. Although I've told them, hey, if you want stuff in life, keep calling me daddy.
Here's how this works. Soon it will be, Dad, could you drop me off at the end of the block?
Yeah, if that happens, they will come right back to the house. That is never happening. You know, I will say this. It's kind of funny. That's the value of having played in the NFL and, like, doing media stuff. Hopefully, my daughters, like, will always – their friends think I'm cool, and their friends' dads think I'm cool.
Right.
So that's, like, that gives me a chance. That gives me a small chance.
So that has to trigger something in the brain. It's like, well, maybe dad is kind of cool, I guess, quote a thing. Listen, before we get talked about Super Bowl 58 – you have Steve Fezzik on.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the show, friend of the network. You do understand, because I know you're not betting first, you're football first, but you have now been in betting long enough to, like, sort of get it. You do get, like, he is one of the sharpest, most mathematical minds you could ever have. So, like, getting him as your regular is like starting at the top.
He has been my co-host on the Even Money Betting Podcast for, I want to say, 8 years, ever since I started it.
Wow.
You know, I was really lucky. I started doing the ESPN podcast, and I went out on my own. And after a year, I added the Fantasy Feast podcast. And then after a year, I added a betting podcast, and I've had Steve ever since. He is fantastic. And we have a really good dichotomy, right? Because he's got all the numbers and all the stats and all the closing line value and all that stuff. And I'm coming at it more from, like, the pure football standpoint, right? So it's good, especially when we have a best bet. We've done very, very well. I think it's like a top three or maybe number one NFL betting podcast. Highly encourage people to check out Even Money. And we're year-round, by the way.
Yes.
So the offseason is kind of cool, because then we'll bring on guests like you and talk about strategies and theories and stuff like that.
You were joking off air that, like, some of his stuff doesn't work when you try it, though.
Well, he's big on the
I worked in theory.
He's
Steve.
Big on the cold weather or bad weather unders, right?
Yeah.
And if this year,
by the way, to interrupt, have you met my friend Kelly, by the way?
Yeah, he's very comfortable
on the couch.
I know Kelly. I have met Kelly. Yeah. So, Kelly, it's funny because
it's a great pod. I love listening to those.
Oh, thank you. He's probably like 7-3 on him this year, Gil.
Yeah.
The three he lost were the three when I went in on with him.
So it's you.
And one of the games I think I broadcast maybe for Westwood One or whatever, and he's like, going to be terrible weather, whatever. I'm at the game. I'm like, dude, it's like 65 and sunny. What are you talking about? You're the worst. I'm never doing this again. And then he'll say, like, over the last 12 years, the bad weather unders are blah, 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 blah. So it's funny.
All right. Super Bowl 58. I'm not sure if you're aware. There's a football game on
Sunday. Yes, there is on Sunday. Yeah.
Let me just start with this. This field, what we're calling here, sort of jokingly, field the gate. This whole thing with the Chiefs having the Raiders practice facilities, the pristine practice facilities, and the Niners having to scramble with the UNLV. Less than satisfactory. Those are my words. Niners not making a big deal about it publicly, but some would speculate that privately they are.
Yeah.
Is that a thing or not a thing, in your opinion, having played the game?
Not a thing unless somebody gets injured, and then it's a thing. You know what I mean? Like, not a thing. I haven't actually heard. There had been some reports that today, as we're talking here on Thursday, that they might practice at the Raiders facility today because it's the most important practice. So it changes up their routine a little bit, changes up their schedule a little bit. I'm sure that the 49ers are less than thrilled about it, because you would want everything to be optimal for the Super Bowl. But guess what? I mean, do you remember the field last year in Arizona?
Both teams complained.
Oh, my gosh, that was terrible. And it was bad for both teams. So you can say it's even for both teams. But my point would have been, for that game, it just shouldn't be that way for either team, right? Like, it should not be an issue where these guys are slipping all over the field. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I saw where Javon Hargrave, who was in the game last year for the Eagles and is in the game this year for the Niners, he said, I brought extra cleats. I brought extra long cleats. I'm not taking any chances this year. So
yeah.
I don't think it's an issue unless someone were to get hurt. It's just, I would say, a minor inconvenience and alters the schedule. But, like, their schedule's already all messed up this week anyway because it's the Super Bowl.
Okay. So let's hope that Nothing like that happens. As for the game itself then, because Lord knows we've had 2 weeks to talk about it and every possible angle has come into our sort of sphere. What is your take on this? Obviously, nothing's really moving right now. Niners are still 2-point favorites. The total just sits there, 47.5. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I've been saying this for a while. I can't believe it got picked up by like Fox News that I said I have no idea why the 49ers are favored in the game. I did have Steve Fezzik explain it to me on the Even Money Betting Podcast. I don't think he did a very good job. I mean, you know, he didn't convince me. You know, it's the power ratings and it's the whole season sample size, and the Niners are 9 points better than an average team, and the Chiefs are 6.5. Hey, Steve, that's great. Sometimes I love Steve. He is like a friend of mine, but sometimes I want to tell him to stick the numbers up as you know what. Okay? Have you watched?
I don't know what, Ross. What? It was stick.
I don't know if I can say that on the air. But have you watched the playoffs? Like, the Chiefs have clearly been the better team in all three games, including at Buffalo, at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Whereas the Niners, very fortunate to win both those games. I can name 6 plays off the top of my head right now that if it went the other way, the Packers would have won the game. The Lions were destroying them, and then they peed down their leg. I can say that on TV. Mm-hmm. Like I've never seen before. So I just don't know how anybody could have watched these teams in the playoffs and say, I think the Niners are the better team. I think the Niners should be favored. Gil, I would tell you if they played 10 times, I feel pretty good about the fact that I feel like the Chiefs would win 7, maybe 7. Even 8, maybe even 8.
Wow.
I think they're clearly a better team. Now,
wow.
None of that means anything at 6:30 Eastern on Sunday when the ball kicks off. It can very easily be one of the two games that the Niners win, right? But I have a tough time figuring out where the 49ers have an advantage. Their defense has been bad recently, really bad. They're getting run on. The Chiefs' defense is awesome. Awesome. I mean, the Chiefs' O-line's been playing better. The Niners' offensive line, not so much. I just don't understand how they're favored. So, needless to say, I've been recommending the Chiefs. Really like them on the money line. Obviously, if you want to get the 2 points, you can do that too.
I think what's inherent in what you just said is fascinating, because I've had this same usually text exchange with friends of mine who are not as immersed in betting as we are here at the network, and they have a very similar take to what you did, which is, wait a minute, hasn't everybody seen what we've just seen? And so there is a chasm between what bettors power rankings, what we've become so locked into for the entire season, versus postseason.
That to me is the science, or maybe the art to it. We don't want to overreact to one game or even a couple games. You want to take the whole body of work, right? But what I've always wondered is, how heavily do you weight what we've seen more recently, right? Like, that's the question. I think we would all agree that what happened last week is more important than week one. Right? So how much more important, how much more heavily should we weigh what we've seen recently? That's the question in my mind.
Would you like to take back 8 out of 10? That's the only thing that I could object to of what you've said.
No, I think 7 is the right number.
Okay.
I said
okay.
7, maybe 8. I said 7, maybe 8. And I kind of feel that way. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I know we do the My Front Page Story thing before we leave here.
I love when you do that, especially since we're, 6 days away from Valentine's Day?
Also, if I'm not mistaken, the last time you were here, you guaranteed that wives and girlfriends would sob uncontrollably. I believe those were your exact
words. Yeah, if you go to MyFrontPageStory.com and get this for them,
yeah.
When you give it to them, if you say, honey, I want to do something special for you, so I had a story written about you, and if you tell the writer, I just never thank her enough for all the little things she does. When she gets that line, when she's reading her story from MyFrontPageStory.com, and she gets that line, they cry. It's like, oh my God, she notices. It's amazing. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Can't thank you enough.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Pleasure being
great
on set with
you. Great to see
you
in person.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast, DraftKings Network. Former baller. Former skin, by the way. So extra points right there. We're coming back. Johnny Avello going to join us from DraftKings. It's a numbers game live from Media Row right here at VSiN.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander, live from Media Row at Super Bowl 58 on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live from Mandalay Bay, Media Row, DraftKings Network Super Week. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, just hanging out at the couch.
Look at that shot.
Numbers game.
Beautiful.
That's a beautiful shot. Look at that. That is nice. The gentleman to my left, to your right on screen, is the great Johnny Avella. By the way, this segment presented by 1-800-Flowers.com, DraftKings official flowers for Valentine's. Johnny, you're just milling about, so we're like, hey, could you come on? And you have obliged. How you doing, man? Great to see you.
Great, Gil. You know, when I look at Kelly over there, I got up really early this morning, as I know you did.
Yes.
And when I look at him over there, it makes me want to lay down.
Yes,
so
me
it's,
too.
It's not good.
I'm a little jealous. Now, I wasn't, listen, Johnny, you were kind enough to come on. I wasn't going to read tweets, but I just have to read a code. I just read a couple. This is one, probably the best one from Brian M. Kelly should be live from Lazy River tomorrow.
We can make that happen.
With a fruity drink in hand, rain or shine.
I love the Mandalay Lazy River. Oh, that's a good time.
I'm super jealous. Yeah.
You got to push some kids out of the way sometime to give yourself some room. But yeah, I love the Lazy River.
Here's another one from Richard Palma. Does Kelly get to keep the couch? Never looked better.
I don't know. They might ask me to after we're done here after 2 days.
That's very nice.
Yeah, yeah, they don't want to pack it up. You can have it.
Yeah.
$50, do it, Kel.
I guess it's done.
If Matt's on tomorrow, we should switch it up. I want to be on the couch, too.
There you go. That's a little couch talk.
I like we'll do it. Johnny, okay. Super Bowl 58. How many Super Bowls, going all the way back, even pre-DraftKings for you, have you been involved in professionally?
Since 1984. So how many is that? 16 and 24.
Did you just bring up the Raiders? 40. Did you just bring up the Raiders beating Washington? Is that what the Super Bowl you just brought
up? Oh, God, I'm sorry, Gil. I didn't mean that. All right, let's go back. 85, I meant.
All right. That's a long time. So you're obviously, when legalization happened, this all changed. Are we still at the point now, the ramp up of legalization since PASPA was ruled unconstitutional in 2018, when I would ask you the question in those first years after that, hey, is this going to be the biggest whatever? Your answer was a very, go to default. Well, yes, we're adding states. And so obviously it's still going to be the biggest one ever. OK, we've kind of not to say that more states won't get, won't become legal with sports betting moving forward. But we're at a point now where we're kind of stabilized on this. Is this going to be the largest handle in Super Bowl history?
I say it every year. Yes. Now, what you're speaking of, DraftKings only or just the entire?
Let's do both.
Okay. For DraftKings, I say yes. And I say that for a couple of reasons. First of all, we haven't stopped growing. We did add a couple new states. And the users in those states who haven't participated, there are a new bunch of people that are on board. Okay. They were on the sidelines at first. Then they said, let me see how this goes. Now they're involved. And so we're constantly getting new bettors all the time. And big bettors, too. So very happy to say that.
Is that, I've asked this question before. Is that what surprises you the most since legalization and maybe to this day? Is it that none of us could have known how much, and we'll call it disposable income, so many people have to bet on these games?
Well, let's think about outside of the U.S. Let's talk about Britain, okay, where gambling's been legal for more years than it certainly has been here. And their industry has continued to grow, and it's a form of way of life there, and that's the way it's has come here in the U.S. So, and then when you start adding markets like we do, Oscars, Grammys, Emmys, that brings a whole new, betting establishment into the fold. A lot of women get involved at that point.
Give me a sense of the handle on those kinds of things. Like, give me the Oscars versus, I'll be unfair here, but versus an NFL Sunday in week two.
No, you can't compare it to the NFL Sunday.
An NBA night.
Yeah, you can compare it more to baseball,
okay.
I would say.
A night of baseball.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you enroll in the product to bet the Emmys, and you don't take your money out. You keep it in there, and
you
dabble around with something else you might find in there, like cornhole or pickleball. Or
you still playing pickleball, by the way?
I am playing pickleball.
Are you obsessed? Tell the truth.
No, I am not. Matter of fact, I haven't played in a couple of weeks,
okay,
and I don't need to play every day. I may play once a week, sometimes twice.
There's a tennis pickleball war going on in this country, and I'm on the tennis side, but that's a whole other story.
You don't need that many courts, Gil. You don't need that many courts. You want them all.
Okay. All right. Niners favored by 2. 47.5 it remains. Do you have any sense, based on what you've seen DraftKings betting behavior, maybe you do, maybe you don't, of where this might go, if anywhere?
Well, when we opened 2.5, I wasn't sure where it would go initially, and within the course of 36 hours, it dropped all the way down to 1. And then from that point on, I think it was that day, it was a Tuesday, the line went the other way back up to 2, and now it's settled at 2, and I thought it would go back to 2. At this point, we're heavy on Kansas City. There's a lot of Kansas City money coming, although we've taken some pretty good-sized bets. We've taken, you know, $500,000, $600,000 bets on 49ers money line.
Oh, okay.
But we're still extremely heavy on the Chiefs.
So biggest bets on San Francisco, but still more money on the Chiefs.
That is correct.
Is there a prop that is bet, either perennially or just this year, more than others?
The touchdown scores has just been really popular for
anytime
us.
Or first, both?
Anytime or first. Yeah. Extremely, you know, Kelsey's been a moneymaker for the public betting, and so is McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. So you have them both in the fold here, and you have them both first and anytime. So along with some other players who have scored quite a few touchdowns this year. So that prop seems to be the most popular. But we keep adding. And for us, this is not anything unusual, a Super Bowl. You know, it's not like we stress out putting up all these props. We had all these props up by Tuesday because we do this each and every Sunday for each and every game.
Yeah. And so, and I was actually talking to Rufus Peabody about this, how, you know, has his edge remained? Because I mean, he rose to prominence betting Super Bowl props. And one of the points he did make, he was like, no, because it's your legalized sportsbooks are so used to doing this now on a week-to-week basis, just what you said, that while he still has edges, and he does it, you know, more minutiae than anybody, more granular than anybody, that, yeah, it's more of a... Back in the day, it was like, oh, let's put up no roughing the passer at -115. Like, imagine that those lines and the win, for instance, your shop, he said, would roll them out at the same price every year. So it's a different calculus now. It's more used to. Is there a prop? I always ask this. Is there a prop that you guys behind the scenes say flummoxes bettors more? Like, you can't believe they still keep betting this thing over and over. And you'll throw out the same price and you'll be like, wow, why do they keep doing this year after year? Don't they get that this is accurate?
They'll take shots on some really big price stuff that most likely is not going to happen, that it hasn't happened. And so, yeah, those are out there. But like Scoregami, they like to bet that,
yeah.
You know, and the Octopus, they like to bet those. So
I'll tell you the one that I cite every year is the, will a team score 3 consecutive times?
Right.
Which is priced super properly.
Yes, it is.
But for whatever reason, people can't help themselves betting the plus money on no, because they think, how could this possibly be plus money? 2 best teams in football. That seems to be the one that most people cite on that. Did you find that to be the case as well?
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like it's realistic, but you and I know it just, yeah. Before you know it, they've already scored 3 times. The safety was one in town that they used to bet a lot. With us, not so much, but when I was in a bricks and mortar location, and we got killed on that, you remember the yes. Safety was the first score of the game, so we had to pay not only the first, but any safety. And then it happened the next year also, any safety happened. So that's one that we got carried on out on, but they continue to bet that thing too also.
Was there a matchup, given the postseason teams, and especially when it got down to 8-4, was there a matchup that, say, you or DraftKings was, or any book would be rooting for better than this one in terms of anticipating a handle?
Well, new teams might help. Not necessarily. I mean, nothing's bigger than a Super Bowl, and I always like to say that because, you know, you can't say that one team is weaker than another for handle. I don't really think they are, but these two teams have been in. We've seen the Chiefs a lot. We've seen the 49ers just a couple of years ago. We've seen the 49ers for many years. It would have been nice to have, like, the Lions-Ravens in there, something a little different. Would that have driven more handle? I don't think it would have been less handle.
No.
I don't don't think that.
So a Super Bowl is impervious to the matchup, is what you're saying, basically?
Yeah. So, yeah, I really do believe that. And, you know, the Super Bowl has grown as sports betting has grown. It's big. It continues to get bigger every year, and more people come and more people bet, and I don't think it matters who the team is.
But that wouldn't be the case for, say, an NBA Finals. Like, if it was the wrong teams in the NBA Finals,
that would make a difference.
That would make a difference. Yeah, so you're not rooting for a Cleveland-Sacramento NBA Finals or something like that. Not to pick on those two, but that would be an instance.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
The great Johnny Avello. Just giving some perspective. Super Bowl 58. Great seeing you, as always.
You too.
I'd see you on the pickleball court, but I won't. I'll see you on the tennis court.
But Achilles is fine, right?
Fine. I'm ready to go, baby.
That's what I like to hear.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it, man. We'll come back. More Super Bowl 58 talk. Bill Krakenberger, Drew Dinsick. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.